You're listening to the Liberty Grace Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit libertygrace.ca.
Well, good to see you today. We are excited to do a very brief mini-series. And it's going to be the shortest series we've done in a long time. It is just two Sundays. And I have a question to begin. I want to ask you, what was the climax of Jesus' life? I want you to think about that for a minute. What would you say was the climax of Jesus' life, the peak event of his life? Well, most of us would probably answer Easter. And that's actually not a bad answer at all. A few weeks ago, we celebrated the triumph of Jesus over death, and it is a big deal. It means that death has been defeated and that anyone who looks to him can look forward to their own resurrection. It is amazing news, and it is absolutely central to the Christian faith. And this week, one of our own people, we were talking before the service, had a funeral of a loved one, and the resurrection gives us hope, even as we face the horrific nature of death, that it is not the end. But there's one event that comes after that that we typically ignore. It is the ascension of Jesus. Today is Ascension Sunday, which is why we're talking about this. And an Australian theologian, Michael Bird, says this: if the resurrection has been relatively neglected by evangelicals, then the ascension of Jesus has been neglected even more. The ascension is a poor cousin in the family of the work of Christ. We celebrate Christmas and Easter and sometimes Pentecost, but Ascension Sunday is pretty much a non-starter in the liturgical calendar. And then he says this: yet the ascension of Christ, including his exaltation to the right hand of God, is a very significant element in the work of Christ. It's arguably the real eschatological. Eschatological means end times. It means really our future in eternity. It is the real fulfillment of the rejoicing of the Psalms about the exaltation of Israel's anointed king. You know, once in a while we say the Apostles' Creed together. We haven't done it recently, but one of these days we need to do it again. And the Apostles' Creed includes these words, speaking of Jesus: he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's really what we're talking about when we talk about the ascension. He ascended into the right hand. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And yet we really don't give it much thought. I remember talking to one of my friends who pastored a church called Church of the Ascension. And I remember saying to him, hey, what's the big deal? Like, why is your church called the Church of the Ascension? Well, when he picked himself off the floor, he began to explain to me, and he was from a different tradition. And it just seems that within our traditions, a lot of us, we're not used to celebrating the ascension. Well, there's a few good reasons for that. Number one, the Bible doesn't talk a lot about the event. It talks a lot about the implications of the event, but it only mentions the actual event a couple times. The implications are a little bit unclear. It takes a little bit of teasing out to figure out what the ascension means for us. And as well, we have to admit that Jesus disappearing into the sky seems a little bit abnormal. And yet it's also very important. Another theologian named Patrick Schreiner writes this: without the ascension, the story of Christ's work is incomplete. Without it, other doctrines become misaligned. Without it, our good news is truncated. Without it, Christ is not declared Lord and Messiah. The Son of Man did not come down to earth to stay. He arrived in order that he might return and then return again. This same theologian tweeted this week: we talk about Jesus at Christmas. We talk about Jesus' death on Good Friday. We talk about Jesus' resurrection on Easter. we should also talk about Jesus' exaltation on Ascension Day. And so this is really important. Just like we celebrate Christmas and Good Friday and Easter, we need to start making a big deal about Ascension, that Jesus is exalted now at the right hand of God on Ascension Day and from that point on. And so today, that's what I want to do. Last Thursday was Ascension Day. I don't think I got one card from any of you to mark Ascension Day. That's okay. I didn't give you any cards either. But you might not have even known that Thursday was Ascension Day. Well, today is Ascension Sunday, which is the first Sunday after Ascension Day. And to celebrate, to mark this event, I want to look at the event, what happened. And then I want to look at why it's worth celebrating. So again, the event, which is going to be very quick, and then why it's worth celebrating. So here's the event. It's only mentioned twice in two passages, both by the same author. Luke 24, and just verses 49 to 53, and Acts 1, 9 to 11. So it's very short. I'm just going to read it. It's going to be on the screen if Gottfried could put it up there. Luke 24, 49 to 53. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And when he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, blessing God. So here's the event that took place. And I'm blending this account with Acts. It gives a very similar but slightly different together, slightly different perspectives on the same event. Putting it together, here's what we learned. 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus led his disciples to the vicinity of Bethany, which is just 3 kilometers from Jerusalem. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed the disciples, just like a high priest blesses the people. And as he was blessing them, he was taken up to heaven and a cloud hid him from their sight. We also learned that the disciples stared. Well, I would have stared too. They were just speechless. They didn't know what to say. And 2 men in white stood beside them and said, "Men of Galilee, why are you staring and why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come the same way as you saw him go into heaven." By the way, this is an important clue to the importance of the ascension. He's going to come back just as he left. So it's very important because this involves our future. And then we learn that the disciples worshiped Jesus and then returned to Jerusalem with joy. And they stayed at the temple and praised God. That's it. That's the ascension. That's everything that we know in scripture about the actual event. And right away, that raises a lot of questions. One of the questions it raises is, what in the world happened to Jesus' body? You know, like Jesus floated up to it and then just disappeared. Like, did he go into orbit? You know, and what happened to him? Well, what we do know is that Jesus continues to live in his resurrected body in God's presence. That's what scripture teaches us. But I don't think we're meant to figure out the physical details of the resurrection. Maybe we'll understand one day, but I love the words of one theologian that says that the ascension isn't really about what happened to Jesus' body, where did it go when it went up there. The ascension is really beyond the notions of space and time. It's therefore something that cannot ultimately be expressed in categories of space and time. In other words, what happened, I think what we're supposed to get is that Jesus left our earthly realm and entered into God's presence. That's what we're supposed to understand. We're supposed to think about the fact that others like Enoch and Elijah were similarly taken into God's presence. That's the event. That's all that we know about it. And so I want to ask, what happened? What does this mean? What is the significance of these events? Why should this matter to us? Why should we pay attention to the ascension? You know, although the Bible doesn't say a lot about the actual events of the ascension, it says a ton about the meaning of the ascension. And today, I'm just going to be able to scratch the surface a little bit about what the ascension means to us today. but I hope that what we cover encourages you and helps you. So let me give you just three reasons why the ascension matters to us today. And here's the first. Number one, it means that Jesus' work is both, as priest, is both complete in one sense and ongoing in a different sense. I want to explain what I mean. Jesus' work as priest is both complete in one sense and yet ongoing in a different sense on our behalf. And where I'm getting this from is Hebrews 10 that says this, Hebrews 10, 11 to 14. Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which never take away sins. I want you to picture this. We keep sinning, right? In a few minutes, we're going to have a confession of sin. You've sinned this week. I've sinned this week. I've sinned today. And the Old Testament teaches that sin never comes cheap. A price must be paid because sin always has a cost. And as a way of teaching us the cost of sin, which is really death, God gave us this substitutionary system where instead of us dying, an animal would die in our place. And Hebrews teaches that basically, you know, the priest's work is never done. Because we keep sinning, more animals need to be sacrificed. It's never ending. The temple was literally a bloodbath because animal after animal would need to be shed as a substitute for our sins. But Hebrews goes on and says, when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Friends, that's the ascension. That's exactly what the ascension teaches. On Easter Sunday, on Good Friday, Christ offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins. On Easter, he rose from the grave 40 days later, having completed his work as our priest, sacrificing for our behalf the single sacrifice that ended all sacrifices. He sat at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet, it says. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. You know, Hebrews tells us we needed these sacrifices because our sins were so severe that somebody had to take our place. But anybody who thought about it for very long would realize there's no way that an animal could take our place. That's why more animals needed to be slaughtered, because it really didn't do the job, did it? It pointed us to what had to happen, but it didn't take the job. They weren't an adequate substitute. No matter how many animals were killed, it wasn't enough. There were no chairs at the temple because the priest's work was never done. But not so with Jesus. Jesus made a single sacrifice for our sins. And then he did what no priest before had been able to do in all of history. He sat down. There were no more sacrifices needed. No matter how many more sins were committed by us, he sat down because his work was completed. He finished his work by offering the final and complete sacrifice for sins, effective for all time. It never needs to be done again. Our salvation is a done deal. The fact that Jesus is the first priest that ever got to sat down and say it's done is very good news for us, because it means that nothing more needs to be done for our salvation. His priestly work of sacrifice is over. And I mentioned that part of his work as our priest is done, the sacrificial part. Here's the part that's not done. Now his priestly work of intercession continues for you. He's offered the only sacrifice that ever needs to be offered for our sins. But he continues the work of representing us in heaven and pleading our case before the Father. Friends, if you ever worry that your sins are too great, you need to understand this. Jesus is sitting because his work of paying for your sins is complete. Jesus is not worried that his sacrifice wasn't enough to cover your sins. There's not some sins that are so great that they're not covered by what he did. He is seated because his work is done. Everything that he needed to do to save you has been completed. And all we need to do is trust and rest in the completeness of his final work for us. It is truly finished. And as I say, if you are feeling like you have a guilty conscience, that's why his ongoing work of interceding for you continues. As your high priest, he continues to bring that finished work before God the Father. Every time our sins cry out to the Father, Jesus pleads on our behalf and says, I paid for that sin as well. I love what John Bunyan wrote. Believers should not only look to the cross for comfort, they should ascend up after him to the throne. At the cross, you see his sorrow and his humiliation, his tears, his blood. But if you follow Jesus to where he is now, you will see him in his robes, his priestly robes. There you will see Jesus wearing the breastplate, and your name is written on his heart. Stand a while and listen and look. Enter with boldness. Here our high priest ever lives to make intercession for us. Friends, why does the ascension matter? Because his work of sacrifice for us is done. Nothing needs to happen to save us. Nothing needs to be added. It's been completed. The only thing that we can do is, with empty arms of faith, receive the gift that he's given to us. And we can have confidence even when we continue to sin. We have a high priest who's representing us before God, pleading our case. Right now, he's representing you before the Heavenly Father as your faithful high priest. That's why the ascension matters. That's the first thing. The work is complete, and yet his ongoing work of representing you continues. Here's the second difference that the ascension makes. Number two, it means that Jesus is enthroned as king. It means that Jesus is enthroned as king. Okay, so if you ever hang around and talk about what the ascension means with different people, eventually you're going to hear about the ascension and the session of Jesus. And you might be saying, I have no idea what the session of Jesus means. We actually probably do know what session means. Session is an old English word that basically means sitting. And so when you say that Jesus is in session, basically what you're saying is what we already said. Jesus is sitting at God's right hand. But you probably know that the session actually means a little bit more than that. If you go to a court, what you'll hear is court is now what? In session. And what that means is, that said, when the judge takes his seat or her seat, court is in session because now that judge is ready to begin her work of judging. Or we talk about a session of Congress, and that simply means that Congress is seated to carry out its work of governing. Well, the same thing is what we talk about when we talk about the session of Jesus. That right now, basically, heaven is in session. Jesus is seated, and Jesus is reigning over everything. And this is very good news, especially right now, when the world seems completely out of control. Heaven is in session, and Jesus is reigning at the right hand of God. One of the passages that talks about this is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. And it says this, that God raised Jesus from the dead. And here's the part that talks about the session of Jesus, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named. Okay, so just pause there. There's presidents, there's prime ministers, there's premiers, there's different governments. And what Paul's saying is Jesus is in session far above any of these, far above all rule and authority, any power that exists on earth, above every name that is named. Jesus is in session over all of them. And then he continues, he says, not only in this age, but in the one to come. And he has put all things, God has put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And so Paul here is telling us, this is what the ascension means. Heaven is in session. In a world that seems out of control, Jesus is on the throne. He is reigning. He is in full control. Nothing is out of his control. This world is running just the way that he wants it to. Everything is going his way. He is on the throne. He has taken his place as king of the universe. He's always been king, but now he's been installed and enthroned as king. Daniel talked about this in Daniel 7:14. It said that dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. His kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed. Chantel read for us Psalm 110. Psalm 110 contains the most quoted verse in the New Testament. If you want to look at what's the most quoted verse in the New Testament from the Old Testament, we read it today. And it's about the reign of Jesus as king. In other words, this has been a longing for millennia now, for centuries and millennia. We've been looking to the reign of Jesus. And it's a reign that's already, but it's a reign that's not yet. It's begun, and yet Jesus one day will crush all evil under his feet. And so it's begun, and yet we long for the day. That's why we pray, your kingdom come. Although Jesus is on his throne, he still hasn't vanquished all of his enemies. We long for that day. We can't wait for that day. But we need this news. This is why the ascension is such good news. The more the world is full of racial injustice, the more this world is full of missile launches and attacks and babies and mothers being slaughtered, the more this world is full of sexual trafficking and injustice and inequity, we need to know, we need Jesus' reign. We long for his reign to come to earth, for evil to be defeated, for all the things that are wrong with this world to be fixed. We long for his rule, and ultimately that the forces of evil would be completely vanquished. And his rule has begun. Jesus is on the throne. One day he will come in his fullness and obliterate all evil. You know, the good news, it's not just the ascension and the reign of Jesus, that heaven is in session, which gives us such confidence that our lives are under his control. But scripture also teaches that the good news about the session of Jesus is that one day we will join him in that session. We are royal family. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you're part of this. Revelation 3:21 says that one day we will rule with Jesus. We will get to be part of that rule. We'll be co-reigning with Jesus, the King of this universe. And so friends, the world is bad. A lot of our lives are full of brokenness. This world is definitely broken, but we can rest easy. The world is going the right direction as much as it seems like it's going in the wrong direction. Evil will ultimately be defeated. Jesus is on his throne. The only reason evil exists today is because of his patience, is that he's giving a chance for people to come to faith in him. But evil will be defeated. Evil is very much on a short leash. No matter how out of control this life gets, Jesus is on his throne. Okay, there's one more thing. I know I'm giving you a lot. Believe it or not, I'm just scratching the surface of what the ascension means. So far, we've seen that the ascension means that Jesus' work is done, that it's done. He's sacrificed. He's given that one perfect sacrifice that needed to be offered for us. We looked at the fact that his work as priest is ongoing as he pleads that perfect sacrifice for you. We looked at the fact that it means that Jesus is enthroned as king. But there's one more thing that I want to look at today for why the ascension matters. Finally, it means this. It means that Jesus has now empowered us to continue his work. Acts 1:8 records Jesus' last words before he ascended. And this is a good place for us to end. Acts 1:8 says this, before he ascended into heaven, he said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth." The ascension marks the handing of the baton to us. While Jesus was on earth, Jesus was the nexus of God's work. He was where the action was happening. He was the one that was preaching God's word and performing signs and wonders. If you've been watching The Chosen, for instance, you just see wherever Jesus went, things happened. That was the presence of God on earth. But something happened when Jesus ascended into heaven. Jesus left and empowered us to continue that work. We've been looking at that in the past few weeks, what it means to be witnesses of Jesus in everyday conversation, to bear witness to the work of Jesus in this world. Jesus said, actually, that we would do greater works than he did. Jesus promised, "I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you." And so over and over again, this is what the ascension means, that Jesus is now seated in heaven, but he's in a different way active on earth through his body. We are his body. Through the Holy Spirit, he is now present with us, empowering us to continue his mission of announcing the good news of the gospel to as many people as will hear it. As one theologian said, the followers of Jesus have now become the hands and feet of Jesus. As they go out and speak about the Lord Jesus and perform signs and wonders, thus building and growing his church. What this means is the ascension is about Jesus shifting his ministry. As he's on heaven's throne, he's also present with you and with me. And we go into the world not on our own strength. Man, we would completely blow it if it were up to us. But we go out into the world with him present with us. And we become the hands and feet of Jesus, announcing the good work, loving people in his name, and carrying on the work that he began. His prophetic work now is shifted, it's increased and multiplied and expanded. And your mission and my mission is through the power of the Spirit with his presence, speaking of Christ until he returns. Now, all of this simply means what I've talked about today is that Jesus' work as prophet, priest, and king continues today. The ascension shifts and perfects each of these roles. I mentioned that he's our priest who's finished the work and yet continues his work for us. I mentioned that he's the perfect king reigning in heaven and soon to return and to establish his rule fully. I mentioned that he's a prophet now, not just speaking himself, but prophetically speaking through each of us. If I were to put all of this together, here's what I would say. The ascension matters because it means that Jesus' sacrificial work is complete, that he's enthroned as king, and that he's empowered us to continue his work. The ascension matters because Jesus' sacrificial work is complete, he's enthroned as king, and now he's empowered us to continue his work. I'm going to close with these words from one of the theologians I love the most who's written about the ascension. The basic assertion is that the ascension of Jesus is a key plot moment, a hinge on which Christ's work turns. It not only authorizes and endorses Jesus' work, but it continues his three roles, prophet, priest, and king. It culminates Christ's earthly work and marks a shift in all of these functions as prophet, priest, and king. Before he was prophet on the earth, now he builds his church as the prophet in heaven. Before he was a priest on earth, now he intercedes as our heavenly priest. Before he was worshiped as king of the Jews, and now he's been installed as Lord of heaven and earth. Without the ascension, Christ's work is incomplete. But with the ascension, all of these works have been completed, and Jesus is carrying them out perfectly for us. Okay, so that's a mouthful. I'm going to simplify this a little and quote another brilliant theologian who said things a little bit simpler. N.T. Wright says this: to embrace the ascension is to heave a sigh of relief. Do you feel that? To embrace the ascension right now is just to take a deep breath of relief. Breathe easy. Embrace the ascension, because Jesus' work is complete. Your salvation is secure. He's reigning as king, and he's empowering you to do his work, and he's coming again. And so, Father, thank you for the ascension. I pray that you would fill us with hope tonight in the middle of this broken world. Nothing more needs to be done. Father, our sins have been fully and completely paid for by Jesus. The worst thing that we've ever done has been paid in full for everyone who trusts in Jesus. And Lord, right now, Jesus is interceding for us. Our high priest, our great high priest, is in your presence right now, pleading our case, pleading for our forgiveness, pleading for our good. And Lord, right now, we have a king who is reigning on the throne. Everything is fully in his control, and we are his royal family. We get to rule with him one day. And not only that, but he is working in and through us. So I pray tonight you would help us to rest and breathe easy because of the ascension. Lord, make these truths not just truths we believe, make them truths that comfort us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.